Welcome to another episode of
Rage Gear Studios,
the podcast. And today we got a very special guest. We have Gregory Litley.
Hello,
the man himself. Hey, yes. Greg.
I'm excited to do this. I love the fact that you guys are doing a podcast. I've been telling both of you for years now to do more and more promotional content. So I know
you want people to get to know us. I get it.
Mm-hmm. have a connection, you know, yes. The men behind the art.
Yeah. I our YouTube channel is next. Wait for it.
No. Baby steps. This is good.
Oh yeah. We're getting our feet wet with this, and so far, you know, we've had some good feedback. So we'll keep going with it. But today it's about you, Gregory. So how about you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Gregory Litley. And for the better part, I guess, of the last 10 years, I've worked in digital marketing. And I've had the pleasure of kind of playing in that world, touching a bunch of different verticals and brands. And it's led me now to this summer, I decided to kind of go out on my own. Mm-hmm. And to freelance, work with a bunch of different companies, and then partner with a wonderful man, a good friend of mine, Troy Solomon, at Lord Troy on Instagram, to mm-hmm. start a beauty brand called Party Beauty. And we launched our first nail collection this past Monday. And you can find
That's
it at
so exciting.
Yeah, oh, partybeauty.com.
All in the Party Beauty already. I'm in the party. I got it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't resist. I've never done my nails before, but now they're done.
So that's a funny thing. A lot of people have messaged me and been like, oh, because it's a little daunting and overwhelming to do your nails yourself. And I tell them that I bring the collection, or I bring a few bottles to the nail salon by my apartment, and I have them do that. So I would never pretend or mislead anyone to say that I paint my own nails. That's not true, and I don't want to
you let the professionals professionals handle that.
Exactly.
They've got the years of in the work. They got so much time in the industry. Let them do their thing. I get it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is, and I'm so happy for you, Greg. I'm really proud that that's come.
It's such a big leap.
No, yeah. I mean, going back to when I first met Greg, it was at a club, and he gave me some pens with his name on it. It was Sharpies and Litley on it. And I was like, who is this man? How did this happen? So intrigued. I had to know. And here we are. And I'm so glad that this is how far you've come. Like, this is impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, I from started with Sharpies. Now I'm here. I guess.
That's yeah, look at that.
That's like how it goes for you. You just never know what's next. Like, it's always, you know, you fly by the coat, but you always hit the mark, man. You're always like on the right page. You're ahead of the trend and everything.
I try to be. I mean, I feel like we're having an interesting halo effect now with you've got Harry Styles, who just launched a beauty line, and it has a little bit of, it has some color cosmetics, but it also has nail polish. So what I like about that, instead of looking at it as a competitor, because, you know, Harry Styles is a massive global force. It's great to understand that kind of, it's almost like a litmus test where, okay, yeah, we're on the right path. This is part of the conversation, and we're contributing in our own way. So we are completely queer owned, and I don't believe that Harry Styles identifies his company that way. So, you know, there are a few differences between
I love the way you guys have presented this, because you brought up the queer owned business, mm-hmm. but it's not just queer owned. It's like, even subsects, because like your party ad with all the people, I mean, the body positivity is like glowing. Like, that's another thing that these companies are lacking. So you're ahead in many aspects.
Well, I also think that that's just kind of ingrained and easy for us to, I mean, I don't want to say it's easy. It's just kind of, it's who we surround ourselves with. So there wasn't really any kind of discussion about, well, we have to make sure that we have every body type and face and color and creed represented, because that is actually our friend group and the people that we fill our lives with. So it was really rewarding to be able to just kind of celebrate that and put it in our launch video. And I guess like the comic/fantasy/geek connection in our launch video would be the inclusion of Charisma Carpenter.
Yes, Charisma Carpenter. Yes.
Yeah,
for one of her fans earliest. Out there.
I know, which is interesting because the video got picked up by a few like hardcore Buffy. It was like Buffy Slay 95, and then it was like some like Buffy fandoms. I think that like for a certain age group, she is she definitely kind of like plays a very big part in young people's nostalgia from, because her earliest roles were on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and then Angel. So right. It's interesting to kind of have that. And it what's crazy is that at however long ago their shows originally aired, I don't know what she's done, and bravo to her, but she looks exactly the same. So
yeah, just like, I agree.
Wow, okay.
Healthy living, like, healthy living.
I mean, like glowing and gorgeous, and I'm just kind of like, wow, okay.
And all also right. Funny. People forget she is funny.
I remember, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
But Greg, I've never painted my nails. I've never gotten my nails painted, and now I'm considering it.
I mean,
just you wait.
Eric, it's really funny you say that, because you live, and I mean, so much of your passion is in expression, and the fastest way to like self-expression on your body is nail polish. So,
no, yeah, it's and great. The whole campaign,
change it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the whole campaign and everything, just it just exudes coolness, you know. And it doesn't matter if you're male, female. It applies to everybody, you know.
It's like the great philosophers once said. Spice up your life, every color, yes. Every creed. Spice up your life, every boy and every girl. Spice up your life.
Amen.
I don't remember the names of those philosophers, but I just remember it.
I know
it making a major impact.
Absolutely,
Pashia Spaticus.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you're right,
Greg. So okay, so you're an entrepreneur. You've done all these amazing things, and you've accomplished so much so quickly, which is fantastic. You're also, though, a geek, which is why you're on here, and in reason how we met, because of the geek connection,
because of the but gay geek connection.
So you
the cons, the conventions.
Oh, the conventions.
But I mean, you've got specific geekdom. Like, I know Robin is a big deal for you. Like that's kind of like, that's what pulled you in, was something about this guy in the green Speedo. Like,
do you know what? Well, I mean, let's press pause for a second on that. You know what I was thinking when I knew I was going to do this podcast, I was thinking back and I was like, what was the very first comic book I received or got my hands on? And I remember I grew up in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia. And I remember being very, very young, and my grandmother bought me a Morbius,
the vampire?
Yeah. She bought me a Morbius comic book in like the Acme food market. And I remember that was like, and I was just like blown away by it. I was like, what is this? These boxes, they tell a story, you keep turning a page. And that was my first, and I mean, you know, I don't identify as a you know, my publisher of choice, I wouldn't say is Marvel, but like, you know, I'm obsessed
with
the
fine.
Marvel films. You know, I tend to physically purchase, you know, from the DC publishing world, but I love Marvel, obviously. I mean, they're so part of like pop culture's lexicon. How could you not?
And Greg, did you see
about that?
Did you see that they're making a Morbius movie?
Yeah, it's been delayed for like 2 years. It's
okay. You're like, that's old news.
Yeah.
The trailer.
I think they finished filming it in like 2019. 16 maybe, and yeah, but with Jared Leto or Leto, however you say his name, Mr. Gucci right now. But the whole
back to Robin.
but wants to get back to Robin.
That's what I associate you with, honestly. I mean, I just you have Robin art and Robin figures, and you like Robin's a big
and,
deal.
And Nightwing, you know, the whole I like the entire storyline and trajectory of that character. And I think, I mean, and Red Hood as well. I mean, I don't, you know, it's not just one. I love the entire storyline. I think that, like, as a child or as like a tween or teen, the idea of someone that was considered a sidekick being as interesting and sometimes just as powerful as people that, you know, traditionally would be called a hero, I always kind of felt that that was really interesting. I was
so it's not that. Just a particular Robin. It's not just Dick. It's like no. it's all the Robins. It's all
right. It's never just Dick.
Because I mean, really that's honest. The big one. That's like
right. Well,
the main. Yes, yeah,
that is the big Dick. You're right.
So how do you? What do you? What's your take on what's his name? The new one. Oh my gosh,
Damian
is the newest one.
I mean, to be really honest, if you're looking at the character of Damian Wayne through the lens of like 2021, he's hyper problematic. Like, clearly, it's someone who is. What's interesting now is that, like, as an adult, you experience these characters, and especially someone like a Damian Wayne who's so broken and so just like always hurting and very raw. I just kind of think, like, you've got Wayne money. You've got Bruce Wayne money. Like, have you ever thought about therapy?
Like, have any of these are... kids thought of therapy? That's right, like, starting with Batman.
Or I know it's right. You know what though? I don't know, and I feel like we've never talked about this. But
no, you're right.
Have you watched or experienced any of the DC shows on HBO Max?
I'm watching Titans.
I love Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol is so interesting. It's like a very like different type of absolutely. Show. I really like Titans. I've tried to get into Stargirl. It's a little silly at times, but I really do like Titans.
Yeah. I'm in season 2 right now. So
oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a ways to go. To go.
Is the third season good?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Nightwing becomes an integral part. So does, Red Hood.
Blackfire.
Is majorly on season 3. It's just well done. And the fact that it's streaming and they don't have to kind of play by the boundaries or rules of traditional television, you know, there's like some hyper-violent moments and there's like a lot of adult themes. They really kind of
go they've allowed, that like, they've allowed Batman to age.
Yes, they have. Oh, like majorly. He's like 62.
Yeah, Batman has some dementia. He's got some pain. He's facing some things.
Ray, are you up to speed? Are you?
Yes, I'm caught up. Yeah.
So, do you feel like? And I'm not. This isn't a spoiler or anything for Eric, who's on his journey of watching it. But do you feel like with the? Do you feel like they're setting it up for some kind of like Batman Beyond? The storyline.
I feel like they're going in the way. Yeah, I think they're going in the way of retirement a bit.
Right, but that's kind of Batman Beyond, where like fully retired. You know, if you think back to the animated show, he was fully retired and he had kind of nominated someone to fill his role. And so I don't know. I would love.
Who do we think it's going to be? Is it? Hey, what do you think of Tim Drake?
the forgotten Robin.
Yeah, because I mean, who are they going to pull to be this like replacement Batman? I'm looking into the pool, and like Tim's the first name to pop out at me. But Tim also has been in the news lately because he came out as bi.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's new for the Bat family.
I mean, you know, I don't think it's like you bring up the whole like Robin fandom. I just don't think it's that odd for like gay or queer people in general, or like gay or queer people that identify as male, to have like certain feelings or ties to the Robin, Nightwing, Tim Drake, Red Hood storyline. So it's not
no, not at all.
Don't color me shocked that he came out. It's take
no,
that's
no,
all
no, no.
Oh, not absolutely
at all.
Not. Just, but
right. It's taken some time. Like it's been none of them have ever as long as this little family's been around. Like he's the first one to like step out and declare anything on that in that sense.
Well, but even the whole dynamic between Batman and Robin, it's like the whole kind of daddy son.
I mean, I think they set off the whole comics code.
I'm unfamiliar. I'm unfamiliar with the daddy son dynamic. You'll have to be more clear. I'm sorry. I can confuse. Sorry, I'm just clearing my throat.
You know, yeah. But that is an interesting point about Batman Beyond, because if they can bring Terry McGinnis, it turn out he was somehow related to Bruce Wayne?
Clone or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they will make it work if that was the case. But I kind of got that vibe just in where I'm at right now. Also, I liked how they focused on how broken Dick Grayson is and him dealing with these things and rejecting this stuff. Obviously, he also needs therapy, but you know, it's stuff that these are kids dealing with, like heavy issues. And
well, what I like on the show, you bring up therapy, the Titan show, and again, not to like spoiler alert for the third season, this isn't a spoiler alert, but also it's like all episodes are streaming on HBO Max, so like it's not really a spoiler alert, they're all out there. Right. I like how Starfire actually starts a conversational relationship with a therapist, and she calls upon him, and she has phone calls, and it's really interesting to like start bridging the like kind of common themes that we're all used to in the superhero genre with kind of real life application of, hey, this is what hurt and trauma causes you to do. And like, once you control those types of feelings, your life kind of opens up and becomes a safer place for yourself. So maybe I'm giving the canon too much credit, but I just found it really interesting when they're like taking these thematics and putting them in like real world settings. So
right.
And also in a way she's becoming self-aware. Like there's like,
oh yeah. And I honestly feel like they're teeing her up to be like the leader, you know. I don't want to say like leader, but I feel like she's becoming such a focal point, which is, I forget the actress's name, but I would love that because I think she's phenomenal. She's like,
I agree.
And she's recently, such a badass, and she's so beautiful.
In recent years, the character has just kind of stayed in a kind of dumb zone, like because of the cartoons, because of their interpretation of her being foreign and different and alien, but it was never, for whatever reason, like intelligent wasn't really a part of it, especially like with the cartoons. But now that's taken I think this has taken Starfire to a whole nother, maybe to what the original was like. I didn't read much of the Titans books, but I can't imagine that she stayed like goofy and silly for very long.
No. I love how, I don't know, right? I forget the last physical time you were at our apartment. But I now have a full cube of DC. So I have like me and my husband have a full floor apartment, and then we have like a tiny space that kind of is like a second floor, and
which is adorable. I love your studio.
It's I was never more grateful for our apartment than like last year. like space and you know, and
a creative space. Kind of, I love windows, the open doors, the rooftop. If you're gonna have a place to work and be creative, that's ideal. And I love your setup. I love like your cube stacked with all the
the art collections.
Absolutely.
Thank you for calling it art. I also call it art. Some people they refer to them as toys. They're collectible figures, everyone. And because it's such a blended mix.
It is a blended mix.
Yeah. But I have a full DC cube. And then
a lot of it is official art. Because you have there's some sculptures that are beautiful. You've got some
cause. The only one that I could afford, which is the like scared Pinocchio cause, because I do have a lot of, like, honestly, yes, I have a lot of Disney, but it's just all from Japan or like or like Tokyo Disneyland or like Tokyo Disney Sea. And then I have, of course, I have a little Spice Girls section.
You obviously. Do the dolls, the figures. I didn't even know that those dolls existed, but you got them.
I've only been able to find Victoria in good condition, because I don't. Yes, there's like, you can go on eBay and find other things, and that's fine if you want to do that. But I run a very like specific, like mint, good condition. But next year I'm going to partner with a photographer and catalog all of my collection and then start to like edit it down, because sometimes it's overwhelming.
Or you could be like me and just have it all over the place. But I get well, that I have multiple little shrines. Speaking of right. Spice Girls, has there ever been like a Spice Girls con? That would be amazing, don't you think?
No, so there is an yes, that would be amazing. There is an Instagram account called, I believe it's, I hope I'm not butchering this, and if I am butchering it, just edit this out.
Okay.
Dr. Spice Official.
Mm-hmm.
And what he had done is he created a online petition to do an exhibition.
Uh-huh.
And they actually had an installation in London of his collection. And that kind of was this was like maybe 2018.
Okay.
And that kind of was the first kind of
Spice Con.
Con type situation. But there's never been a Spice Girls convention. There should be, though, right? I mean, we just
absolutely.
Had... I mean,
There's a Gem Con.
Oh, where is that though?
It's in California, but there's. I mean, that's.
And wasn't there one of your previous episodes? You had, the Rainbow Bright specialist on.
Yeah,
and wasn't there like, wasn't she describing some kind of rainbow? Oh no, she was discussing an event at.
Involved in other things. There's like a there's a Masters of the Universe convention.
It's called PowerCon, right?
Yeah.
Which I just got into the Netflix show. I like it. I'm not like a huge She-Ra Netflix show fan, but I do like the new, what is it?
Revelations.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. And the I love their version of Skeletor, like the way they design and draw him. I'm so fascinated by like the character.
Mark Hamill is doing the voice. That's
right.
That's amazing.
Which is iconic. And they have that great after show that you can watch. I think it's Kevin Smith. He interviews the man from Clerks. He interviews like the different voices, and I think he did an episode with. Not to bring up Buffy again, but Sarah Michelle Gellar voices one of the characters.
Yes,
on there.
She
voices like Teela, right?
He is Teela, like the main character of this first half.
Yeah,
which is upsetting to many people, but it's okay. We'll make it through. It'll be all right.
Oh, was that controversial?
Yeah. The fandom they were very mad that they focused on Teela for so long and that they kind of killed He-Man twice in the first half of that. But
yeah,
a story.
He died twice in the first episode.
Once in the first episode, again in the last episode. But it's just like they had to, they're telling a story. And the part of the story, dorking me out again, but it's like it's going back to the originals where you were always expecting Teela to ascend or become the sorceress or step up to some degree, because that's where the story was supposed to go, and it just never finished. It never went there. So I'm glad that they're picking it up, and I feel like they're going to wrap it up.
Okay, this is the first time I'm hearing that it was controversial, because I thought that was so well done. I thought that was like such a great take on it. I had no idea why were people angry? It was a good story.
I agree. I never saw Masters of the Universe back in the day, so this is my first watch through, and I had no problems with it. Apparently, they were upset because it's He-Man and Masters of the Universe. So it's a show about He-Man. And
there wasn't enough He-Man.
I guess his role was secondary in this. I mean, the focus was Teela, but I enjoyed it.
That's
And again, this is like the first part, you know? Just wait for it. I'm sure they have a big plan.
Yeah, they don't tell the last Masters of the Universe story and ignore He-Man completely. I mean, maybe I wouldn't mind if they gave Duncan some more parts. But other than that...
Yeah, absolutely. We know about Ray's Duncan obsession.
I love that. I reshared on social, I guess it was like 2 days ago. Ray, I reshared your post. You did a beautiful post when you received your Hardy beauty package. I reshared it, and there was this man, I don't know him, but he's been a follower for a little bit, a very nice person, and he responded with, "Oh, is that one of the guys from your drawing group that you used to do?"
Really?
And I was like, "Oh,
Greg, those are great days.
Those were fun. Those were
good times sneaking into office buildings and like setting up shop."
So for our listeners, if they don't know, we used to host every Sunday. We would meet up and have art day, and Greg, you were like our host.
Not always though. There was like we switched because Ray hosted as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I remember
Ice Media was great. The other offices, situations.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice, and we would and we had a few other guys as well, and we don't need to name people, but one of the font we'd always have a guest star.
Yes, this is true.
One of the gentlemen that joined our group always had like a, you know, someone that was left over from their Saturday night. So we don't, and that, it was always kind of like it was fun because
who's gonna show up today?
It was kind of like, who's coming to dinner? It was nice because
we got to meet some new people.
I mean, we met many people. But it was nice because I always knew that I would be able to see you all at least once a week. And then we had the bonus of, you know, meeting someone new.
It's great to be in a creative space, to be surrounded by people who are like dedicated to their creativity for the moment, and kind of everybody zoning together. Just, it's a good buzz.
Absolutely. We would be there for like 5 hours working on art and drawing and doing our own personal projects. It was great.
Well, you boys were mostly like fulfilling commissions and like real work that you were doing. I was just like painting neon guys with beards. Like,
those are fantastic. Like, those are great.
I wasn't doing anything real, but you guys were actually fulfilling commissions that people were paying you for. So that made it worthwhile.
But your aesthetic is so pleasing. It was it all comes together. You're also a creative person, so it all worked out.
And that's what I liked about it, that I could just kind of be there and I could ask questions about how to like use certain things. I would see Ray go from, I liked watching your process. Like, you both would have this like foundational moment where you'd kind of like lay the movement. I just found it so interesting. And then you would take it sometimes to a digital realm and then do like your color. And I just found it was a nice time. I would love to kickstart that again. And the big thing that changed in my life was my husband's work schedule. So it's kind of flipped where a traditional work schedule is that, well, I mean, you know, traditional is such a bizarre word, but a traditional work week goes from Monday to Friday. His work week goes from Tuesday to Saturday. So my weekend with him is Sunday and Monday. So it kind of like, it flipped it. And I was like, okay, what's going on? Gotta
rearrange.
We'll figure it out, Greg. We gotta make it happen again.
I know. We should. You know what I would love to do? We do something like once a month or something, just to kind of. Because the last time I saw Eric, I think was literally my wedding day.
Yes.
I think it was because then the world shut down like 2 months later. So.
Yeah. My God, Greg, your wedding. Like, your wedding was something. That was something.
It was an experience. It was amazing.
Thank you. I remember sitting on those outdoor couches at the end with you both, and I think my friend Allison and my friend John Michael, who you guys know, and then his like brother was just passed out.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I was like, well, I guess it was a good wedding.
Oh, it was amazing. Wedding. It was great. Yeah, it
was we had eagles. We had, oh, looking over a cliff in Maine. It was gorgeous. Yes. Eagles and drones. Eagles and drones.
Oh my God, the drone. My grandmother could not figure out what was going on. She was like, during the ceremony, she was asking my mom, she's like, what is this sound? Is it a lawnmower? Is it? And like, my mom was like, yeah, it was a drone. You know, gotta get that content.
It was such an, just from the beginning, because I don't know how much you know, but when we got there, like, we were so ready, like 2 hours before the event to get out, to walk out the door.
I love that.
The Ubers were not responding. It was just, we couldn't take the car because it was too many. Go ahead, Eric. Go ahead.
We waited for one 20 minutes and then they canceled. And yeah, it was.
We waited for another one and then they canceled. And the third one canceled. But the one that did show up, we just had to take it. Just had to take it, even though she was 95 years old.
Oh, you said that. Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, listen, it was in Maine on a little island within Maine. So you're not going to get the top tier.
It wasn't even coveted. About tier. We were just like willing to show up. Anybody to show up. Anyone who was going to show up, we were willing to go with them. just come in. But like, and she got us there just like in almost, there was almost an incident. There was a choice in another vehicle. But she got us there at the nick of time, and it was, oh my God, it was so embarrassing. But
she got you to the church on time.
Yes. I mean, you were just about to walk down the aisle. It was
in my beautiful gown.
It was gorgeous. But I was like, oh my God, everybody was like, sit your ass down. He's coming. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was a low key entrance. I was lowered down by cables on a helicopter. It was very subdued.
Oh, it was
definitely. Very humble.
Yes.
Very very humble. but I thought what was we got so far off track. To comment on the drawing group, what I thought was so interesting was that at that time that this person remembered it. I think that like it was just such like a pure joy moment that we would do that each week.
Yeah.
And I just want to recapture that, because so much of that moment I just felt like the freedom of just like asking questions about like how to do different things, and it also gave you time and space just to concentrate on creating things that possibly were in your mind during the week, but because of life and work you didn't necessarily have the time and space to do. I just felt like that is so much that aided it in the trajectory of my creative process, and also like my creative confidence.
But also, Greg, Peter enjoys it. Peter took last time. Peter joined us last time, so it's like it's something even. And Peter's great.
He's a crafter. He likes a craft. There's not a lot of popsicle sticks and cardboard and felt that he doesn't like.
Greg. But he makes lovely things with them. Are they hanging out on the tree now? Did they finish them?
Well, we do not have our Christmas tree up, but he is a fan of wreaths, and he enjoys making these like paper kit wreaths, and we have leaf garland.
Yes.
On our fireplace mantle. So During COVID last year, I kind of like reintroduced Legos into my life, even though I was like such a Lego kid. I mean, I had like suitcases full of Legos. Remember those like thick red suitcases that you'd store all your Legos in? It was like a Lego suitcase. I had so much. I had like the space station. I had the castle. I had Lego City. My stepdad put like two, we had these old IKEA tables in our basement that he like bound together so I could have a huge, I was like, I'm so into Legos. And last year, you know, because we were like trapped doing nothing, I got back into it. So Peter slowly has been graduating. He was doing a 6+. Now he's about to do, now he's about to do a 9+ wreath, wow, which is really exciting. And yeah, and I'm doing, I did the flower kit, the bouquet, which was very interesting and time consuming. But yeah, I just feel like Legos had a resurgence.
You set your mind to everything. You accomplish it. You get it done. That's just how you roll.
And reminder, if you're looking for affordable Lego wear and Lego lifestyle products, Target, I think 2 Saturdays from now, is launching a Lego collection. I know. There's like puffer coats that are in the, it's like pulled from the color story of classic Legos. And there is oversized minifigure plushies. And it's actually pretty phenomenal. I'll send you guys a link, but it's, I like literally wrote a reminder on my iCal. So that
a Target across the street from me now.
But I feel like in the ones, so it's great and convenient. Yes, they've popped up all over the city, but it is a very different type. If anyone's had the luxury of experiencing a Target in suburban America.
Oh, it's very different.
It's very different.
Very different. You could live in one of those Targets. There, everything you could possibly need to survive is there.
Yes. The ones in the city are like 20% Target. Like it's just 20% of it.
I call it Diet Target or Target Light. Which is fine. Which is fine. That's okay. You know, we don't have the kind of space that people in suburban areas have. That's okay. You know, no disrespect to Target, but it's just a different experience. So when those kind of partnerships and collections go live, you kind of have to catch them online or do a nice little road trip early in the morning to leaving your city.
We know about that because with these Funko Pops, they have certain exclusive Funko Pops. And obviously, they always sell out. They're never available. And you're right. We had to do road trips or order on eBay or to find them otherwise.
Well, where do you mostly this is a question for both of you, not that I'm like turning the tables, but
it's fine. Yeah,
my question is, where do you mostly go either online or in real life to like either buy things for your collections or complete collections? Like are you using eBay? Are you going to StockX? Are you like, how do you, where do you go?
I've recently... go ahead, Eric.
Honestly, it's mostly online now.
Yeah.
Before Funko Pop, I was able to find them pretty easily, like at comic shops, Midtown Comics, or, you know, these little toy shops and stuff like that. But, you know, this has blown up so much and everything's in pre-orders and...
It's not just the pre-orders. There's also exclusives. There's things that are available only in a certain place. Some things only go to Target. Some things only go to GameStop. Some things are only at the conventions. And then the convention exclusives, those are the ones that get bought up and sold on eBay by people who are price gouging.
Inflate it. Yeah. Yes. Inflate it costs. It's ridiculous. It's so wild. I got I love a Disney or Marvel Zumzum. Some call it
Zumzum. Oh, the Zumzums. Yes.
Yes. Well, I got a, I guess I went to the first D23 I ever went to was...
you went to that?
I did in 2018. And I got they had a D23 Black Panther Zumzum exclusive. Wow. And it was like, I was like, I got it. It's amazing. I have it upstairs.
Have you checked the value of it now?
I did. And I was like, I was taken back because, you know, I don't collect for like financial reasons. Right. Like I collect because it's
things that make you happy.
Yeah. Or like
because we want. I agree.
Like if you like my genre outside of like specific superhero characters, like my genre that is my jam. Like if you take a traditional character and you make them super cute or little, take my money.
That's it.
Like, here you go. Like that's there is no limit. Like here's
which is what Funko does.
Yes, but that's it to be, I love like that. I just love the design and playful aesthetic of like a Japanese Zumzum or a chibi or like I love that.
Did you ever find some like Stucky Zumzums? Are there Stucky Zumzums?
I don't know if we can mix those worlds. no, I don't have a Stucky Zoom Zoom, but I have a. So should we like say what Stucky?
That's gonna be the title of this episode, by the way. Stucky Zoom Zoom.
Tell us what Stucky Craig.
So Stucky. Okay. So everyone is familiar with like the very popular friendship, and I'm using air quotes. People can't see friendship of Steve Rogers, Captain America, and Bucky/Winter Soldier. So there are some corners of the internet and some corners of the fandom. This is actually, I first discovered this on Tumblr in probably like 2006, maybe
before the mass exodus.
Yes. Right.
That's a whole other episode. But there is a world where, you know, shipping is very, very popular, where you kind of take two characters that are friends and then you kind of like impose your own version of a narrative on there and do romantic links, and sometimes it becomes physical, blah blah blah. So that's kind of Stucky. And Stucky is the name given to a group of vocal fans online and in real life who have created memorabilia to celebrate this.
The relationship between these two men.
Right, these two men. So there's there's some really like beautiful fan art, and there's some really like don't search for this type of fan art on a work computer type of thing put out there. But I got this little book of like stuff, like the best of Stucky. It was like a tiny little like handmade stapled together.
No way.
I got something to show you, Greg, next time we see each other. I have a hardcover book of a Stucky fan-made anthology of all this Stucky artwork by different artists.
What's really interesting is that some of it is attractive, and then some of it, they like start to domesticate them. So it's like Steve comes home from work and he's angry with Bucky, and I'm like, wait, this isn't fun. I don't want to see them have a domestic squabble over why dinner isn't ready. But there's this like tiny book, and I got it at oh my god, why am I blanking? Probably because it's early in the morning. But one of the last conventions I ever went to, it was I bought it at
FlameCon.
I will tell you, they have
all the Stucky.
They had a robust selection of Stucky items. We're talking about like T-shirts. People made keychains, and then that's where I found this tiny little like handmade book that was really cute.
Now it's Falcon. Is it? Bucky? Like who's what's the new
Ray.
Word?
How do you pronounce how long have you been holding on to that? I wanna know. You pre-planned that. You set us all up.
What's the new name?
This is some like working behind the scenes with the producer's housewife shit that I just did. You're like, is it the combination of both? Could it be? Well, I think that the great thing about comic books and fantasy and superhero canon is that storylines can live forever. Time isn't real.
Exactly. It never ends. It's like the soaps that last 25 years. I mean, it's up there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You're right. Oh my god, I'm not even repeating that. What? Why are you?
What?
So now that Falcon and... I don't know if
that's Disney... Ray in a nutshell.
I struggle with believing that. I don't think that was the working title for the Disney Plus show.
Oh my gosh. It should have been.
Could you imagine?
Oh my gosh. No, they would never. Come on.
It's got to be out there.
The actual like men that portray Captain America, who is Chris Evans, and then Winter Soldier/Bucky is Sebastian Stan. They they very much like play with that idea because they know that some of those scenes where they're like, don't blame yourself. You didn't know. It's like, what? This is the most intimate, intense scenes and in any of the Marvel films.
It's true. I mean, they stare into each other's eyes.
There was that therapy session between Falcon and Bucky where they had like put their legs between each other's legs. And
Yeah. It's like a little gay baiting, I feel like.
A little bit.
So I mean, I...
Not to the like Nick Jonas degree, but something.
Right. Oof. But I'll never forget the one scene in Civil War where they're all, where Winter Soldier and Steve are Captain America are flying towards, and like Black Panther's like following them the whole way.
Yeah.
And they're flying to that like area where they kept like the Genovia soldiers. It's, I mean, like obviously it made like $1 billion. So if people don't know what I'm talking about, I can't help you. But like literally like the world saw it. But there's a scene and they're flying and it's just them and Sebastian Stan, Winter Soldier's like, you know, like this is all my fault. And he goes through why it's his fault. And like, you know, why when push comes to shove, Captain America / Steve Rogers should like kill him. Like, you know, if this fight gets worse, just kill me. And he's like, Steve Rogers is like, no, don't do that. Don't blame you. Don't blame
I just
you.
Can't quit.
I never would. I know. And I'm just like, this is really like, they don't like, this is a very specific friend scene.
It's sweet. It's so very.
Right. It is. And I think that on the surface, you could be like, oh, they're like, they love each other. They're best friends. But then like, as a gay man, you're like, oh shit.
Right, you're reading all the subtext.
Right. or just read the
we're
text.
Willfully
just read the text.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It's just a text.
I need to see your Stucky hardcover book.
Oh, cause... I will bring it.
I'm sure. We should plan to resurrect
an art day.
Yeah.
No, we're gonna
now I have the space. I have the space now.
And as you know, Greg, we've been going through some rut, like artist block. So yeah, hopefully we can break that and get together and collaborate again. Because you're right, I really, that was the best part about it, is to just exchange ideas with each other. And you know, we all think differently, and it's always good to get some type of feedback.
And I would always try to push you guys to like start doing more promotion.
Yes, that's where we.
I'm never not going to be struggle. A marketer, guys.
We are artists. It's hard to be business, and it's really hard to do both. You mastered it, but
you have come like so far. Like if you're thinking about like when did we really start drawing group? Like I'm like 7 years ago, 6 years ago.
Just yeah.
I think it's like time 2013?
Yeah, 2013.
2013, wow. Yeah. So that's 8? Is that 8 years?
Oh, my
goodness. Gregory.
Oh, my goodness.
We were children, Gregory.
We were babies. Yes. We were babies. It was our dream girl's moment. Why did someone call me the SE? So I mean that was I just feel like that was I go back to it because I think that like I came out of that period with like a lot of learnings and like a lot of like feeling more free to express myself and a lot more confidence, and it was like that time of just kind of hanging out and like having a consistent place to go each week and then just kind of like pushing through different problems and also feeling the responsibility to be like, okay, you're here,
accountability,
you put out work. Definitely. Right. And then you move on. And I thought that was such a great
things got done. Things got done then.
Yeah. Oh my god. And I still use to this day. I don't know if like if you guys have talked about it in the past, but when you did the you did talk about the Rainbow Bright Kids mashups, but remember you were trying out all these different kinds of like vinyl sparkle finishes. So I still have that that one roll that you gave me. I still use it.
Love how much you do use it. You've created packaging with it, like a makeup packaging. Actually, they released a. You recently gifted me these gem action figures.
Oh my god!
I swear the packaging looked like, like you done something to it. It was fantastic.
The Super Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god. Well, because I just associated so much of gem with like so much of the, really the Misfits, I guess I would say. I don't know if I should say gem, but with the work that you were doing, so that was like I saw them and I'm like, these are so fun. I love the Super Seven figures. I think the way that they take kind of your childhood image of a figure and they remix it, it's so brilliant.
Because it used to be only Star Wars figures look like that.
Right.
Now they're putting it across all properties.
And for people who aren't aware of like the Super, is it Reaction or Reflection? I keep forgetting.
I don't know.
What is it called? That whole series. But Super Seven takes kind of the look and feel of a like late 80s early 90s Kenner figure, and they take like SpongeBob and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and some like horror, I mean I will never collect the horror film ones, those are like terrifying, but they produce figures in the vein of the classic Star Wars Kenner figures and like current pop culture figures. So
they did the Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they did.
Yeah.
They also did, I think they did The Crow. They did Labyrinth. They've done a lot. Now they're doing...
They dig deep.
Yeah. Now they're doing G.I. Joe, which I never really watched, but I did have
G.I. Joe had their own figures. G.I. Joe had their own figures. I'm surprised they're even... And they were better than the G.I. They were better than the Star Wars figures because they moved. They had, like, joints. I love G.I. Joe.
I had like the Cobra twins.
Oh, the Cobra twins.
Oh. Grace told me about the Cobra twins.
I always thought their outfits were like so iconic. I remember being so young and being like, oh wow, these like their outfits are really cool.
Tomax and Saymot. Yeah. They were something. They were
they were Power Rangers material.
Like those guys
are before OnlyFans.
Yeah. Oh. They were they were G.I. Joe's OnlyFans guys. Like, it was so weird. Those two were so weird.
Okay, so I guess we would have to be held accountable that we will, in some form or fashion, restart. Make it happen.
Yes.
Art, what are we calling it? Art club? Drawing club?
Yeah. Whatever you want.
Or as the anonymous fan on Instagram called it, drawing group.
Yes, drawing group would be great. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it was so good to talk to you.
Oh, this has been great. I love you. I love you guys so much.
Love you, man.
I love that you're doing this because I love the magic that you two create, and I love how you've built this entire world, and you've managed to just take it farther and farther like every year. Like, I just love that. So I feel like this is the next iteration of what you both have created. And
thank
I just
you, Greg.
See, like you joked about a YouTube channel earlier.
No, but like, I'm kind of serious.
Give me a YouTube channel. Like, I just think that there's a certain kind of magic, and you can tell that when you listen to your episodes and when you see the work that both of you produce, it's very clear that there's a respect and there's an understanding, there's a safety, and I think that like really beautiful art comes out of that. So I just
Greg,
I've always
coming
always
from you. That oh my gosh, means a lot, Greg. Thank you.
No,
that
it's
is
real.
Fantastic. And I can't. Eric is gonna be here, and we're gonna get the party going with the party product.
Yes,
he's gonna get his nails did.
Paint my nails for the first time. We'll probably make it an event.
There you go. Take a photo, or it didn't happen.
Yeah. There'll be proof.
Greg, thank you so much for making the time. Really,
of course.
It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Always good. Always good to see you.
So is there any where we can follow you, find you?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not on social. I'm not on.
Not at all. Not at all.
No, I'm on. Could you imagine? Like, what is that life? Who's not on social? I don't trust you. So, yeah, I am at my. It's my last name twice. Litley. And it's on. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram. And then on Twitter, since my Twitter account has literally been deleted 3 different times. Oh. And I don't know why.
Oh.
But on Twitter, you can find me at Gregory Litley. And then if you're looking to kind of express yourself with our first debut nail polish collection, you can find Party Beauty at Party Beauty on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
It's Party, P-A-R-D-E.
Uh-huh. Yes. It's a phonetic. Yeah, correct. P-A-R-D-E. Beauty.
Done.
Done.
Well, congratulations, Greg, again.
Congrats with that.
Thank you.
All right, guys. That's another week done. Like, we're we did it.
Yes.
With awesome company again. So yes. Next time, who knows who we'll bring on next time.
We'll see. Yeah. Just keep listening.
That sounded like a threat. You're like, who knows?
You better.
That's right. You better.
Just you wait. The next guest is going to be so terrible, you'll cry on your iPhone. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
That's right.
All right. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Before we close out this episode, we got one last order of business to take care of.
Feels like it's been forever. I mean, I even forgot how to do it, right? Like,
there hasn't been much comics being released since Inferno's happening, I feel like.
Yeah, they're taking over. Then after Inferno, even less comics are going to be released. And I don't know.
But where's Gambit going to end up?
In the meantime.
Well, we got three issues to talk about. We got Excalibur, Hellions, and Sword. We'll start off with Excalibur 25.
Things are happening in Excalibur. It takes a while. It's a build-up, but things are happening. But like Teenie Howard is her style of writing. She's in for the long game. That's just how it's told. And then like when the delivery happens, when like it hits, it's great. And Marcus Toe has been on it since the beginning. Like, yeah, he's been nonstop.
Yeah.
The work has been consistent. And he's been really great. He might have done, maybe not done one or two issues, but I feel like he's just been there the whole time, and that's fantastic, especially considering that all these titles are like wrapping up and he's been in it from the beginning.
Oh yeah, I like his style. I like his work.
Arcieniega, Eric Arcieniega, the colorist, has done really good work on it. It had some moments where it was like the color definitely carried that moment. It translated. It made it what the story meant it to be, you know? But
yeah.
Other than that, there's a lot happening in the book now.
Well, I got questions.
Okay.
Let's see if you can help me, you know.
Go ahead.
They start off in the Green Lagoon. They're at that, the bar, I guess. The bar of Krakoa. I don't know anything about the Strike team. Apparently they were resurrected.
So before Betsy even joined the X-Men, she was part of this thing called Strike back in the UK, back in the Captain Britain books. Uh-huh. And there was a team of telepaths that worked with her, and that's what all these people are that are there now.
Okay.
And one of them she was kind of dating, and that's the one she's talking to.
Tom.
Yeah.
Tom the guy.
But they all, like the albino girl, she's the one that kind of helped Megan with her transformation from like the ugly, fugly, hairy werewolf lady to like this glam elf girl she is now. This pretty elf
blonde
she is now.
Elf,
yeah.
Girl. Okay. Cool. So that do they build? Do they combine their psychic bond or somehow trust or something?
No. They're not like the cuckoos.
Okay.
They each use their powers a little differently.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly how each of them did it, but they weren't all identical.
And did you peek that Kenon and Grey Crow are like in the background on a date?
Did Betsy peek it? I mean, Betsy was like, Betsy was sneak peeking them the whole time. Like, she's trying to have a conversation with this guy.
Looking over there.
She's like, he's like, who are those people? Why you keep looking at them? She's like, no, nothing.
Like, was she jealous? Or she wants to be a part of it?
With Grey, I mean, I would be.
With Grey Crow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Sup, Grey Crow.
How
I mean,
you doing? I thought that was interesting. I thought it's adorable. That goes to Maggie, the little tactician.
Oh, Maggie.
Strategist. She's so cute.
Maggie was adorable. She's like organizing how they're going to head on this attack. And she's got like all these dolls set up and organized
in her playroom. And the strategy, she's going through the game plan.
And she's like, everybody's a position, and even the like the cakes are a position. They're the towers, and they got the dollies, and then like Spider-Man is Saturnine.
Yeah, it's Saturnine in the center, and then she gets into it. She kicks a table down, spills a drink.
Yeah. And just is like, you have to be reminded that she's a little girl.
Megan is like, yo, chill.
She's like, don't spill the juice.
Yeah.
But you just gotta. It was a nice little reminder that she's still like 3 years old.
I know.
Yeah. She's a master strategist, and she's a genius.
Right.
But she had a little moment of
a little tantrum.
A little moment of childhood.
Yeah.
Child. So now, you know, they've had the strategy. They've decided how they're going to go into this attack. And first of all, like, they're just fighting Arthur already.
Yeah.
Like, it's already on. Merlin and Saturnine are kind of like out of commission. They're both casting spells in different places. They're all like, they're chanting. They're doing.
Yeah, the battle is on.
And Shatterstar and Richter are like side by side. It's cute. Oh. Fighting. Like, he's on the team. It feels like official that Shatterstar is like, he's there. They're already teaming him up with Bay. Him and Bay, that's an awesome fighting team.
That threesome right there.
Oh.
Thruple? All right. No.
Bay's got me curious. Something happened with Bay where she was giving Cypher some weird looks in another book, and I was like,
okay.
So I'm like, right. I don't know how to feel about Bay yet.
Yeah.
She got plans. I don't know. But Saturnine's out of commission. She's like casting a spell on this pond of milk. I don't know where she's just soaking in Calgon.
Isn't that the pond that Dr. Doom gave them?
She didn't share that with her. She kept that's in the lighthouse.
Oh, right. Betsy has that. My bad. See? What happens.
It's okay. So she's like...
Wait. And then, Betsy then takes out Arthur, just fucks up with his mind, right?
Well, what's happening is Merlin's casting a spell. Mm-hmm. Saturnine's casting a spell. And Saturnine, like, you see her floating in her milky white bath, and she's like, oh my god,
that's like that scene in Snow White and the Huntsman when Charlize Theron just goes in her
yes, exactly.
milk bath.
In the virgin milk. Yes.
Oh my god.
So she's
you
like,
guys haven't seen that movie, you should watch it.
It's anti-magic. She's like, oh my god, Merlin's casting anti-magic. So what happens is that if there's no magic in the Citadel, what's powering the Captain Britain Corps? They're magically powered. So that's why
shutting everything down.
Betsy shows up and you say she has no armor on. She's just walking around in her underwear.
Yep.
And she's ready to fight Merlin. I mean, sorry, Arthur. She's ready to fight Arthur in her underwear. But the thing is, like, this particular group of Captain Britain Corps, they're all mutants. They're all based on Betsy Braddock. Mm. So they're all telekinetic, telepathic. Like, they have these abilities that aren't magical in them already. So that gives them an edge. Because the previous group of Captain Britain Corps were all based on Brian.
Yeah,
and Brian isn't a mutant, so they would have been asked out, but because they're mutants, as much as Otherworld hates these mutants, the Captain Britain Corps can still defend them, in spite of the magic not being there because they're mutants.
Yeah.
So she takes out Arthur. She's like, she gives him the big butterfly blast.
Yep.
Like, those are finally manifesting again.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to see it again.
So then Betsy fights Arthur in her underwear, and she's got the whole butterfly blast, and I'm glad that's all back, because it's been a while since she's manifested that power signature. And now after she's done with Arthur, now she's looking for Saturnine. She's like, okay, let me go get this lady, gotta take care of it, gotta protect her, because if she's not in the picture, if she gets hurt, then we're in trouble. So she does that, and she's like walking around the castle, what remains of this castle, because it's under siege at the Citadel. And she's like, Saturnine, where you at? And Jamie and Bay already rescued her, and they had her, and they're flying around on Stroju. And he's just like, here you go. And he drops her. He's like, Bay, kick her off the dragon.
Just pass her on. Betsy's like, what the fuck, Jamie? And she catches her in her arms, and as she does, she transforms into her Captain Britain outfit.
Because now they're outside of the anti-magic zone.
And they fall into this pit, the Sea of Secrets. Well, they awaken from.
But
after that,
so he drops her out off the dragon, And Betsy's like catches her, but she I can see like with the art and the coloring, I could see this happening in a slow motion anime glitter, like all the shining happening, and she catches her romantically and her arm embraces her and saves her life. And then but then this whole time they've had Shogo going around blasting fire pits all around the whole battlefield. And Jamie, the thing is, when Shogo blasts fire, he's also like disrupting reality and breaking shit up.
Tearing space with
Yeah.
him.
So Jamie, in the meantime, is like putting it together. Like while Shogo's blasting away and destroying everything, Jamie's following him around, cleaning up after him,
Putting
trying to
band-aids.
put, yeah, trying to put reality back together again. And while that's happening, Merlin is like, these people aren't getting away. And he's like, zaps the ground where Betsy was standing, and she falls. She was carrying Saturnine, so she falls into this pit of like reality gap. Of this, and the she wakes up on a boat between Saturnine's legs, and Saturnine's like, let me tell you a story. I have to tell you how I became Saturnine, Queen of the Citadel, or what, how she took
How
over from
she
Merlin.
defeated Merlin from the Citadel. Yeah, how she took over.
It
What
was.
secrets will she tell? Oh my gosh, is she ready to like trust Betsy fully?
I don't know, man.
Are they gonna
She.
make out? Oh my god. She showed her little legs. Saturnine was ready. No,
I mean,
you
she
never
showed her
know
legs
how
so much, that's the only way you could see Betsy's face.
it's true.
But
Yeah. We'll see what happens, but it's been good. These past few issues has been fun.
is it because it's wrapping up? Like I feel like everything is
It's all
delivering, it's
coming.
all delivering now.
Yeah, I guess so. Now we move on to Hellions number 17.
Zeb Wells. He's been delivering on Hellions from the beginning. These are characters I never planned to care for at all. But now I'm a Nanny fan. Zeb Wells has been doing an amazing job with Hellions from the beginning. Like these are characters I had no intention of caring about. I picked it up because of Kanan. Kanan. Just to follow up what's happening with Psylocke. Because I've always been a fan of Psylocke, even when she was just Betsy. But
Now she has his counterpart with
now
Kanan.
that they're, rightfully now separated,
Separated, yeah.
like
Who is Kanan?
who is she? Like I
Yeah.
just want to know. So that was why I started getting the book. But this whole team, the Scalp Hunter and Nanny and Orphan Maker and Wild Child and Havoc and Empath, like I'm just like, what an odd bat, what like what a weird group of people to put together. And he made it work.
Yeah, they feed off each other. I like their banter.
And Steven Segovia's art has been like consistent again throughout. Like it's just, these were really good runs. It's almost a
Yeah.
shame to see them all disappear now, but who knows what's gonna come next. So we're prepared for that. So Kanan is leaving. Kanan. I wish I can get the name right. Kanan is leaving. She's like, I'm out of here. They killed her.
Peace.
They killed her baby, or the digital, her digital
Her
baby,
digital
her
backup.
Tamagotchi.
Oh,
Oh,
Ray.
I'm sorry, man.
Oh, it's true, yeah.
Sorry.
That was clever. I like
Oh.
that. Yeah. Yeah, but how quickly she got convinced to stay?
Well,
It's just
because
like.
Emma's like, you have to stay, and she's like, no. And then the
Oh.
Cuckoos are like, Peter's in Arizona,
Orphan Maker.
smashing things up, and she's
Yeah.
like, all right, fine, I'm
I'll go
staying.
get him. I'll go retrieve
I'm
him.
the captain. I'm gonna go do it. So, but the whole team follows. She gets them all together, and all the Hellions are gonna go with her,
Except for Impact.
except for Empath.
Wah.
Oh,
Nobody likes Impact.
no, nobody likes Empath. Because why
He was
should they?
working, but he was working with. It was Emma's fault.
And he no, he was,
He's misunderstood.
he's been a pain in the ass from day one, like from.
But he really cares. He
Why
wants to be with them.
don't you marry him?
Maybe I will. But yeah, so they leave, they go get to this base where the right is at.
And the right is like, get Zeta team ready for attack. These guys are coming, but don't give any medication to Susan.
Yeah, because she
Because
can't. Yeah.
we don't know why yet.
Yeah. It wasn't revealed, but that was
It was a weird thing to mention.
Yeah.
Until
Again, it's with this writing. I love it. It throws you off. You never know what to expect.
Until you see this team, the Zeta team, and Hellions, like, you finally see them throw down, and then you meet Susan. And then you know why she can't get meds. She just won't shut up.
Yeah.
She's like Bible thumping, razor throwing. They're all not right.
Yeah.
But she's especially not right as part of the right. Haha,
right.
See?
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah.
In the meantime, Emma's sending notes. She's like, Peter's doing some shit. We gotta figure out how to clean this up. Like, things are gonna happen. It's not gonna be something that the Krakoa might be able to sweep under the rug.
She's basically requesting proposals. She's waiting for them to see how they deal with
how
the
we
situation.
Gonna fix it.
Yeah, she's already a step ahead. That Emma.
And I mean, he's Peter Orphan Maker.
Orphan
I keep calling
Maker.
Him Peter. I'm sorry,
Orphan
but
Maker.
he's looking for the smiley baby because Nanny, anything to make Nanny happy. He's
All
like
right.
She's cast him aside. She's cast him aside, and she doesn't care for him anymore.
Maybe if I get this baby to her, things will be back to normal. Oof. He goes.
But he does. He go gets that baby. He go gets that baby.
At what cost, Ray?
And Nanny makes it just in time. Nanny makes it just in time to get the baby from him. He's like, look, I got the baby. She's like, give me that baby. Go away. She's like, she's done with him. It was so messed up.
Yeah,
like, she's really.
She's really.
She's putting him over the edge. I don't know if it's intentional. I don't know if it's Aminth or what. Like, when she died, she didn't come back, right? But neither did he. So they're the only ones still feeling those effects because it was removed from Wild Child before.
Mm-hmm.
And the freaking smiley baby, he's been saying Mew Mew all this time for just Mew Mew Mew. And it turns out all this time he's been growing and developing. And what he meant to say all this time was, mutant scum.
Yeah.
He's like,
hey, dang.
He hates the mutants.
It's a racist baby.
He hates the mutants because they did mess them up a few issues ago when they were like, you know, the Havoc was ready to make a pact with these Smileys because they were developing on their own. They were kind of like machines that had developed consciousness and grew to develop some kind of something beyond their what they were programmed to do. And just then, just when they were going to make friends with the mutants, Psylocke delivers a virus into their system via a computer through Magneto, who's like telling them, "You just like they just have to die. Like machines, we can't let this happen." So she's unaware that Havoc is having this exchange, and she's just like immediately throws this bug into the wrench, and they're all the Smileys start blowing up and dying, and one of them remains awake, and it's like. Betrayed, feels very betrayed. So this baby inherited all that. It remembered all that and downloaded that into his programming and has been hating mutants from the get. Nanny just had no idea because he couldn't say it yet. But he just blasts her away. Like, all this energy shoots out of his mouth and he's like, Nanny's gone. She's like skeletal. He's burned her up, fried her up, and Peter can't take it. They're all laughing because of the irony that this mutant-hating baby killed Nanny, who was trying to save him, and she's a mutant, and she's been saving mutant babies, and so they're all laughing, all the scientists that are there, and including her husband. And Peter snaps his neck, kills the other guys, and just starts killing everybody at that base. Like, he just loses it. There's no reasoning. Like Nanny's in part responsible for that. You know, she's treating him like crap, and that's it. She's gone. He saw her be killed by this baby who she was like showing preference to over him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah. We'll see how that gets resolved. What Emma's gonna do to fix it?
Yeah, we don't even know what Orphan Maker's powers are. Like, he's in that armor to protect the world, but like, I don't know what is he without that armor? Like, I don't know. I hope they get into that. I hope like when next issue comes out that we know what's under the shell.
Yeah. To the last comic, Sword Number 10. This was interesting.
It was the first like look into like a day in the life of Takashi, and that was really.
Yeah, it was all him, just his.
How he wakes up.
Yeah.
What he has to do with his. It's like, and again, like Al Ewing has the book has been awesome from the beginning. It's still like, they all came out Frenzy was the one that pulled me into this book because, like, I was just really interested in how she fits into this new Krakoa world and the assignments and the six. Is it the six? Like the all
Yeah, they all
the
had different.
teleporters.
Yeah.
Like, it just, I was pulled in right away. But
It was
still,
organized pretty cool,
yeah.
all the different groups.
And I'm bringing Takashi back. That was a big draw too, because I don't remember. He hasn't been in anything that I've read in, since Exterminators.
I don't know him, so this was new.
Yeah,
So you've known him from the past? Yeah.
from way back, from the first Inferno.
Okay.
When him and,
Oh, snap.
yeah, it was him and Boom Boom and Rusty. And I know you love Rusty and Skids. Him, Boo Boo, Wizkid, Boom Boom, Richter, Rusty, and Skids were part of
Okay.
this team called the Exterminators, and they were like saving the babies that were being, or tried to save the babies that were being used in Inferno.
Okay.
So again, Al Ewing delivering on the writing from the beginning of this book. It's just been so, I'm gonna be so sad to see it go. Like, it's another
Yeah, I'm
one of those
surprised
books.
'cause this book has function not only with the X-Men universe, but also with stuff going on with the Avengers, and it's kind of like a connecting piece.
Abigail's got her fingers in all over the place.
Yeah,
She's got
I mean,
reach.
she was part of the whole Empire thing.
She was part of it. She was in a sneaky way though.
I mean, but yeah,
She
she I mean, ain't she being sneaky right now, though?
yes. Okay.
Or
Oh, you know what? You skipped. You went ahead.
I'm just saying, we're gonna get there.
Jacobo
So,
Campini did the art again. Like,
Yeah, we
it
know
was
him
just so.
from DeviantArt. We've been following him for
Yeah,
years. Yeah,
it's
it's good
been.
to see.
It just it fit Tadashi really well. Like the art, the
Yeah.
style of it. It's just been. I'm so sad to see all these books wrap up. But Storm is. It starts off with her. She's kicking ass. Like, after you get to, through the day in the life of Takashi, where he's like
I
showing you
wake
how he's
up and
waking up.
his struggle of like, getting on the.
Getting into the wheelchair,
Yeah.
taking his medication, because he's. That's another thing that was
This whole
addressed that
time
I.
he's telling you, like, oh, like, I'm not accepted. Basically, like, how people view him and how they see him as being.
Arrogant.
Yeah, but, like, also, like, pity him, I guess. No matter if it's a mutant or a human, just because. He's wheelchair bound, or he's saying people view me this way, that way. It doesn't matter who
They're
they
all trying to
are,
figure him out.
right?
And that's, I don't know, that's, I was really interested in the dyslexia thing too. I had no idea he was dyslexic to the degree where he has to
Yeah.
take medication.
Yeah.
And the fact that Krakoa does have medication for that. I mean, it's just, it's such a good book.
Yeah.
Like you don't really see characters being focused on that way in such a like a intimate personal level. And it was nice of them to do that in this book. And it goes from that to Storm back in the fight, because that's all Storm does now. Storm fights every single day to remain regent of Arako, and in this case, she's fighting just to save them all from these, I don't know, what are they, like soldiers of these robo soldiers that are just like cloned over and over again,
You're
and
talking about the Lethal Legion?
the Lethal Legion, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Which, did you understand that ad? They had a Stellaris ad. It was like villains for hire. Like,
Yeah,
we
they're
can.
advertising those clones,
So,
or
somebody. Do you know who's behind the Lethal Legion? Who hired them to?
I'm assuming
Orcus?
Henry Gyrick, that
Yeah.
bastard. He's been
He's.
like, can someone take care of him? But no, I think Moira tried that and didn't work.
Well, I think that's what they're probably working on.
But it was, I mean, so many more of them showed up. Like, they even fake surrendered. Like, Storm took care of everybody, and Baby Lilandra Xavier is like, oh my gosh, Storm's such a hero. She got this, she did it. And but the thing was just like, it turns out that the one remaining,
Was he able to open portals or
no,
something?
he was a tracking device, so
Oh,
they knew
okay.
where to teleport
Where?
all the
I
other ones
see.
to.
I'm glad you're here to explain this. I
I
guess. This is cool. Thanks. See, it not only helps you guys, but it helps me too.
So they all zap there. You got like 50, 11 villains they gotta fight now.
Fuck.
And Storm's just like, oh, here we go.
Here we go.
But in the meantime, Takashi's like up on the store, the sword station.
Oh my goodness.
He
He fucks up Cable.
well, first he's like trying to be sneak about it, and then Cable's like, then he realizes that Cable's kind of onto him, but kind of like trying to, asking the right questions, and he's like, I gotta do this now. So he's like infiltrates, because his power is to mess with technology, and he infiltrates Cable's
Tech
body,
virus or whatever, the
turns his
cyborg
eye against him, zaps his brain, like fries Cable. Cable's out of the, he's gone,
partner.
and wakes up to an evacuation.
And it's like, what the heck? And then right after that, he gets a, I don't know who he was over the comm that the over,
Ink, another one of the mutants, he was like, what do you mean
yeah,
you sent this command?
to like evacuate the sword station, and then it just blows up with Cable in it. It just goes
Well,
kaboom.
everybody's been evacuated and Cable
Oh
can
yeah, but
teleport. I'm not
Cable
worried
got
about
killed.
I'm not worried about Cable. Cable's gonna be fine.
Anyway, they could get resurrected, right? The whole
Cable's gonna
thing.
be fine.
Yeah.
And but I mean, Takashi, from the last issue when they were revealing that he was the mole,
Yeah.
it was just so hard to believe,
I know.
because
We were like, why would he do that?
not
Why?
Takashi.
Yeah, well.
And go ahead. I mean, you were the one who pointed out that Abigail Brand was in
In
that
the
last panel
scene,
with
so I'm
him.
like, she has to know. She can hear him talking to Orcus and Gyrich, whatever. Like, why would she be okay with this? So it does turn out, it's been revealed that he's a triple agent,
He
and
blew up the station to
yeah,
prove to Gyrich that he's
that
like on his
on his
side.
side, right?
And I don't know if Gyrich even believed it. Why should he? Like, Gyrich, I don't
Yeah,
know.
I don't know where they're going with
I
this.
don't know.
We'll
I don't
see.
know. But we'll see. I'm trusting that Ewing will deliver.
Yeah,
Because.
and we see like a little tiny Abigail Brand speaking into
Was she even hiding?
WizKid. Yeah, she's just floating in his ear.
Is she?
Yeah, but
She.
she says something about the Pym particle technology.
So
So
she's
she's
got the
like,
Pym
this is what
particles.
we're, yeah, using, so she can't go on undetected.
You think maybe they shrunk the tower? No, they didn't shrink the. Did they shrink the tower? They didn't like blow
Do
it
you
up for
think, but
real?
the, yeah, do you think Jamie has to rebirth that again? Oof. Poor guy. I
He
don't
just had
know.
that other
I
baby.
mean, it's true. You're
Has he
right.
recovered from his
I
C-section?
know.
Like, I
From
don't.
I mean, he has reality warping powers. He can
But
make.
he's using them all on this dragon right now,
Yeah,
so I
you're
don't know.
right.
We'll
He's
see.
busy at the moment.
He couldn't even catch Betsy.
I know, it's true. I can't. Got my hands tied right now. You fall into the pit. Yeah, so.
We'll see what Abby's plan is.
I know. The master plan. I can't wait. So you think we got like what, one more issue left?
Think one more issue of
And
all of
then
these
that's
left,
it.
and then after then
Yeah.
Inferno happens, and then everything starts over again.
Yeah. Excited to see what happens.
Good job.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for taking a listen.
See you guys next week.
That's right.
Bye bye.
Bye.